So, Lord, we thank you and we bless you. We love you because there's none like you and nothing too hard for you, Lord. So we just want to pause and bless you and thank you, God, for being God, giving us your word, Lord. Giving us your word in the best of times, giving us your word in the worst of times, giving us your word at all times. The blueprint, how to live, how to forgive, how to think, how to love, how to trust, how to believe, how to commit, how to surrender, how to speak, how to think, how to act. You left nothing to chance. It's all spelled out. We thank you. We ask that you would speak to our heart. Thank you that your word is a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Your word is a light, it's a lamp, and it even says your word is life. Thank you for the life, the hope, the inspiration, the spirit, the Holy Spirit that comes from your word, God, that bears witness within us. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. Thank you for making it plain. Now speak to us. May we hear your words, Lord. May we apply them. Give us revelation that leads to transformation. We bless you now, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you would, open your Bibles to John chapter 9. As we continue the message, Jesus Christ being the light of the world, we'll see how far we get today, and when we stop, we stop, and that'll be it. Amen. So let's pick up the story at verse 3. We know that Jesus heals a blind man. The man was in a desperate state, and Christ saw him. We made a note that when we're at our worst, Christ sees us. Even when we don't see him, as this man did not see him, even when we don't see Christ or we don't think Christ is there, Christ sees us. The toughest times, the best times, Christ is there and he sees us. The disciples wanted to blame somebody, his parents, that he was born blind. Jesus said, no. It's not his parents' fault. It's nobody's fault. We pick it up at verse 3. Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made revealed or manifest in him. So we talk about how God, we might look at it as a setback, but God is actually setting us up so that we can give him the glory. So I have a bunch of read this, so I'm going to apologize already for reading too much. But I want to give it to you just like God gave it to me. It says, church family, God wants to manifest his power through your life. God wants to manifest his power through your marriage. Singles, God wants to manifest his power in your life as a single. Family, God wants to manifest his power in our life through each and every situation. Then it says, stop complaining and allow God to get the glory out of your situation. Let me read that again. Stop complaining and allow God to get the glory out of your situation. God wants to use your life, your marriage, your singleness as a youth to shine as a light and declare that Jesus is the light of the world, that he lives in me. Make a note, my struggles do not define who I am. In Matthew 5:14, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. He passed the baton to you and I. We'll come back to that later. Only comparison that matters is light and dark. You should have that in your notes. Somebody say amen. Don't get caught up in the other stuff. Either you're in the light or you're in the dark, and that's it. My struggles don't define who I am. I'm salt, I'm light, I'm love, and God will be glorified through my life in the midst of my struggles. I'm not a failure. I'm not a loser. Not even a sinner. I'm a saint saved by grace. I'm light, salt, and love. Somebody say amen. Amen. We've been sanctified by the blood of Christ. Yes, we might commit sin, but I'm sanctified. You're a saint. Don't live like you are ain't. I didn't say you're an angel, but you are. We are sanctified, not because of what we've done, but because of what Christ has done. We've been saved by grace. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. I will give God the glory in the midst of my struggles, and I will not live a defeated lifestyle. I will give God the glory, and I won't live a defeated lifestyle. Jesus Christ is Lord, and I will decree and declare to whoever God will send my way. Make a note, things happen in God's time. Let me say this again. Make a note, things happen in God's time. Don't give up on your life. Don't give up on your God-given dreams. Don't ever give up on God. Humble yourself and trust God 100%. And it says right here, for once in your life. Let me say that again. Humble yourself and trust God 100% for once in your life. Verse 4, Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. God is saying we don't have as much time as we think we have. Somebody say amen. The assignment is now, right where you are. Let me say that again. The assignment is right now, right where you are. We must work while we have the energy and time to work. Because when God calls us home, the assignment's over. Somebody say amen. And since we don't know when we'll be called home, we have to work now. We don't have a second, a minute, an hour, or a day to waste. We don't have a day we can just throw away and say it's all good. I'll get that day back. No, we won't. We have to work now. The trick of the enemy, and I'm going to walk in just a little bit to make sure y'all stand awake. But the trick of the enemy is to get us to waste these years now, especially for our youth and our young adults. Like, you have time. But that's the trick of the enemy to tell you got plenty of time to get it together. Actually, you don't, because we don't know how much time we have. And then for those of us that are just a little bit older, we're reminded every morning when we get up that we don't have as much time as we think we do. It's something else hurting this morning when I got up. I'm reminded daily that this whole thing, the reality is this thing is fading away. And I don't have as much time as I think I do, and I'm reminded. Every morning I get up, is something else hurting? Somebody say amen. Amen. I don't have to go far to be reminded that this temple is fading. Amen. Jesus said we got to work now while we have the time. So we have to use our platform to complete the mission that God has us to make disciples, to seek and to save those that are lost, to plant seeds. Right now, right where we are, on our job, in our home, at the gym, everywhere, that God gives us the opportunity. We have to be the man and the woman that God has called us to be right now. Not later, not when it's convenient. Somebody make a note, all we have is this very moment. That's all we have. Give God the glory in each and every aspect of your life right now in this moment. And don't let the enemy keep lying to you. You are qualified. Remember, your resume says you are the light of the world. It says it right here. Some of you in here have a calling on your life to serve God on a much higher level than you're currently serving God now. Let me say it again. Because it says read it and it's right here. Some of you in here have a calling on your life to serve God on a much higher level than you are currently serving him. You can't wait till later. Now is the time, right where you are, right now. Your life is where it is so God can get the glory. It's not about being self-conscious. It's about being God conscious and being used by God. And then Jesus makes it plain. He says, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world in verse 5. Dominique, take us to Matthew 5:14. So let's read it again and unpack it just a little bit more. Now Christ says, you're the light of the world. Ho, ho. Amen? Amen. Christ passes the baton to us on our job, in our homes. Look what he says. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. We are the light of the world. Rise up and stand out and don't hide your light. Make a note. Rise up, stand up, and stop hiding your light. So here's the question. Why are you hiding your light? As good as God has been to you, why are you hiding your light? Stand up, rise up, and let your light shine. Verse 15, Dominique. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and that it gives light unto all that are in the house. Give your light to all that are in your circle of influence. That's what that means. Give your light to all that are in your circle of influence. Take it back one more, Dominique, before we go to 16. In your Bibles, those of you that take notes, underline, give light unto all that are in your house. All that are close to you, be the light. Be the light in the circle of influence that you have. It says in your house. But we know that means anyone that you come in contact with, all that you have the opportunity to influence, you be the light. It's personal. God's passed the baton to you and I to be the light. Verse 16, Dominique. Let your light so shine before men that they may see the good works in you and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So when you're letting your light shine, people see the good works in you. You don't work to be saved, but because you are saved, you're doing good works. Your light shining, and then people glorify God, which is in heaven, because of the light that's in you. And that's how you give God the glory. Your light shines the brightest when you're doing good works. Again, good works don't save you. We do good works to illuminate our circle of influence because we are saved. Let me say it again. Because you got different doctrines and different people trying to tell you to do stuff to be saved, to impress God. Trust me, God is not impressed with anything that we do. Amen? Amen. What does the word say? Our works are like what? I'm glad I got some Bible readers in here. Our works are like what, Sister Kathy? Filthy rags. So obviously he's not saying they may see you filthy rags and glorify God. That's not what they're saying. So we know works don't save us. But because we are saved, we work for God. People see the works, people see the light, they glorify God. They want to ask, why you do it that way? Why are you different? What makes you tick? It's your light shining, and then you give the glory to God. You're being set up. How are you handling it so well? Because of God. Why are you not falling apart? Because of God. Give God the glory. Your good works are on display when your thoughts and your language is uplifting to others. When your actions are motivated and inspired by the Holy Spirit and not by the flesh. That's how people see the good works. Let me read it again so we'll be plain when we go out of here and we understand. Your good works are displayed when your thoughts and your language are uplifting, when your actions are motivated and inspired by the Holy Spirit and not by the flesh. That's when your light's shining the brightest. So then we pick it up in verse 6. Let's go back to John 9 and 6, Dominique. And I love Jesus giving the object lesson. Here he takes a man from literal darkness into literal light with sight. Somebody say amen. He says, I'm the light of the world. Then he proves it. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spit on, he anointed the eyes of a blind man with the clay. And y'all know one of the worst things you can do is spit on somebody. And it couldn't be much better if you spit on the ground and then wipe it on them. Nah, I don't think that's better than just spitting on somebody. Okay, I spit on you, or I spit on the ground and I'll make and wipe it on you. I don't think that's much better. Amen? So we talked about it two weeks ago, how Jesus might ask you to do something that doesn't make sense. Make a note, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. It says that in the book of Isaiah. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. We're not on God's level. Make a note. It says, as high as the heavens are from the earth, are God's thoughts than our thoughts, and God's ways than our ways. We're not on the same level. I would have never thought about spitting on the ground, wiping on somebody, especially on their eyes, tell them to go wash it so they could see. We're not on God's level. God doesn't have to tell us why something happened. He doesn't. So questions we have, why would you allow, we're not on God's level. We just have to trust him and give him the glory. So Jesus might ask you to do something that doesn't make sense, like humble yourself, love your spouse, humble yourself, listen to your kids, respect your parents, keep your mouth shut. Be still and know. That's another way of saying keeping your mouth shut. Pray for that coworker who you know hates you and tries to sabotage everything you do. Pray for that family member that hurt you beyond belief, and then go back and ask them to forgive you for holding a grudge against them. And here's a revelation in that. It doesn't make sense, but you have to humble yourself so your light can shine bright and God can receive the glory. This is a mature Christian walk. That's why most people don't want to commit and surrender, because it requires you to be on a whole nother level of maturity. Not backbiting and gossiping and hating and trying to get even. God says, let it go. Humble yourself. Let your light shine bright. Give me the glory. I got it covered. So that's a higher level to live on. It's the highest level you can live on. Most people are too selfish. Most people can't trust God to that extent, to wait on God and watch God move. Remember, this man had been blind since birth. Years and years and years have gone by, and he's still blind in the dark. Make a note, those of you taking notes, and just write, when do I give up on God? At what point do I give up on my dream that God's placed in me? At what point do I give up on God coming through and using my situation to glorify? At what point do you give up? I don't know, family. That's between you and God. At what point do you give up? You're single. You're saying, what point do I give up on God sending the right one? You can pick and choose if you like, but at what point do you wait for God? And then those of you that are married, at what point do I give up on God fixing this? You know how it is. Married people want to be single. Single people want to be married. Tall people want to be short. Short people want to be tall. Skinny people, I need to gain weight. People who have, I need to be skinny. We're never satisfied. At what point do you just rest and be content right where you are so God can get the glory? You have those in the limelight and the fame. I just wish I could be normal. Normal people, we want to be in the limelight and the fame. Just, we got to just be content and let God get the glory right where we are. Young people, oh, I can't wait till I get older. Old people, I sure wish I'd go back and start over again. Amen? When do you give up? When do you and I give up on God? When do we stop waiting? When do we just be content and say, God, work this out? So we get to verse 7. Jesus told him to go. So make a note, it requires some action. Go, that word means, and go in the Greek, it means to lead. So lead. Let your light lead you in the path that God has taken you. Go in the pool of Siloam, which is by sent. You're sent to lead. You've been born and called to lead, and now you're sent. Which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came, seeing. And I told you two weeks ago that seeing is discerning. So not only could he physically see, but now he could spiritually see that Jesus was Lord. So as you're praying for others, pray that they can see, discern spiritually. But here's a revelation. You can't have the healing without the obedience. If he didn't go, if he would have said, man, what's this stuff you done put on me? Man, you crazy, you tripping. God, I ain't doing it. I would have never did anything like this. I ain't going over there. I'm out of here. He would have never got his healing. He had to believe that God was who he said he was. He had to believe and do something that people said, man, you stupid. You let that dude spit and wipe on you? Man, what's wrong with you? I would have never did that. And you can't have the ultimate healing, which is eternal life with Christ in paradise, without the obedience to the word of God being saved. Let me say that again. Our ultimate healing is when we transition and we go to be with Christ in paradise. You can't have that without the obedience to Christ. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. You can't say, I'm going to do my own thing. I don't need Christ to transition to paradise. I believe every road leads to heaven. You can't have the ultimate healing without obedience to the word of God. And that's what it really comes down to, the ultimate healing. Because we all got to transition. I remember, as hard as it was, and you all would have loved my younger sister, Aretha. She's 5 years younger than me, and I really, the first baby I took care of coming home from kindergarten. Yeah, I love kids, and that's why I fell in love with kids, you know. I couldn't wait to get home from kindergarten to hold my baby sister and watch Sheriff John and Hobo Kelly. Now, y'all don't remember that. The young folks don't remember Sheriff John and Hobo Kelly. And they would call names, and I see Tracy, and I'm waiting for him to call, and I see Jerome. Never saw Jerome. Anyway, she wasn't from the ghetto, so she can call. Tyrone, RJ, she didn't see none of them. But I would come home from kindergarten, hold my little baby sister Aretha. So we fast forward. And Aretha, she's a singer, she's a rapper, she's doing all this kind of stuff. And I send them to youth camp when she was about 14. Bam, she's the one that just got on fire for Christ. We started a gospel label, started gospel wear, Christian clothing. We had distributors in the Philippines, over in Europe, throughout the United States. I mean, it just blew up. And we would go and she would sing and do her thing. And then we would have our clothing line. And it was just really a special thing. We would go into prison. She would sing, I would preach. We went to federal prison. We went to state prison. We went all around. And then she told me one day when I went to my mom's house, well, my mom told me, have you talked to your sister? And I'm thinking, because they were calling her for a record deal. And say, oh, okay. And so I said, hey, Rita, mom told me to talk to you. What's going on? You got the deal? She said, nah. Went to the doctor. They found a lump in my breast. So, yucks. She said, I've been telling him for 6 months I think something's going on. So we fast forward 2 years and just spread all throughout her body. And my dad, my brother Lavelle, my brother Leo, my brother Freddie, we all rode to see her at the hospital. It was like she was waiting on us before she passed. So we got there just to see sister pass. And her mother-in-law told me, sometimes the ultimate healing is to go and be with Christ. As hard as that was to hear and to try and understand, here's my baby sister who I've taken care of since she was born. She's a minister of the gospel. She's married. She's been married at the time for 10 years. She had 3 kids. We've been ministering in prisons. We've been going all around. And here she is waiting for us, and she just transitions out. And here's the mother-in-law. She hugged me and she said, look, you know, the ultimate healing is to go home and be with the Lord. And what can you say but amen? When it comes down to it, this whole thing is the ultimate healing from this flesh that's not going to get any better is to transition and be with God. But you're not going to get there if you're not obedient to the word. There's no healing without obedience. It's not. If you're not obedient to the word of God, you do not go to the ultimate healing, which is paradise with Christ. You don't. That's why it's an urgency. That's why I said we got to work today. Because folks are transitioning right to hell. And we have the light in us and we're not letting it shine. If he didn't go, he wouldn't have gotten healed. If you don't accept Christ and live according to the word, then you're not transitioning to paradise. Let me stop right there. You can accept Christ and live contrary to the word, because it is plus or minus nothing, but you will live a defeated lifestyle. And you will barely make it. The word says some of us will get there like we're leaving a fire. Whew, just made it. Hey, God, you know I love you, but I've been tripping, but I just made it. I'm glad to be in, though. Don't get me wrong. And then others will get there and they'll have rewards waiting for them because of the obedience that they showed and displayed as they lived for Christ and touched the lives of others. Let me finish reading this. I'm going to wind it down. You can't have the healing without the obedience. You can't have the ultimate healing, which is eternal life with Christ in paradise, without obedience to God's word. The world is selling us a deception and a lie. You can't have it your way and be obedient to Christ at the same time. You can't do it. You can't do your own thing and expect it to be cool with God. The blind man went. Jesus said, go, which means you have to lead with your light. Go means lead. You have been sent by God to lead, or it can be interpreted to mean lead because you've been sent by Christ. Be a light and lead because you have been sent, and then do. It requires some action. And it won't make sense in the natural realm. It won't. I'm already telling you it won't. Humble yourself. It won't make sense. And God will lift you up at the right time. It won't. Lose your life and you will find it. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't. It's not going to make sense. But in the spiritual, it's called obedience to the command and the voice of God. Make a note. In the spiritual, is called obedience to the command and voice of God. You can only hear God speak to you in that voice when you are spending time with God. Remember, God speaks in each and every situation. We just have to make sure that we're listening. And then we got to be obedient when God calls you to action. And it might not make sense to you. Sometimes the action is to be still and know that God is in control. That's your action. Be still and know that God is in control. The man went one way and came back another way. So here's a revelation for those of you taking notes. Obedience to the voice of God will change your current situation. And then family, make another note. God loves us just the way that we are. Somebody say amen. God loved that blind man just the way that he was. God will take you just the way you are. But make a note, but God loves us too much to leave us like that. He took him just the way he was, but he loved him too much to leave him like that. God loves us too much to leave us in our current situation, but it requires obedience on our part. Verse 8. I think this is where we stopped last time. The neighbors. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, is this not he that begged? Okay, make a note, family. I don't know where you live at. Well, some of y'all I do because I've been by your place. But make a note, your neighbors are watching. Your neighbors are watching. Are they seeing light in your house? Are they seeing darkness in your house? What are they seeing? Even when the lights are on, it's dark in your house. Somebody say amen. Even when the lights are on, it's dark in your house. But here's one thing, make a note. You can't argue with a changed life. They say, is this the guy who used to beg? You cannot argue with a changed life. Look what he did. Make a note. Jesus changed this man from a blind beggar to a discerning disciple. Listen to this. Jesus changed this man from a blind beggar, Brother Stanley, to a discerning disciple. You can't argue with a changed life. Your neighbors are watching. They're watching your life. They can say what they want to say, but when your life changed for Christ, say what you want. Your family can say what they want to say, but they can't argue with a changed life. They know you're not the same. Even in the midst of my struggles, my family know I'm not the same. You can say this, you can say that, but I don't live a defeated lifestyle, and you can't argue with a changed life. But I know you're watching, because the neighbors are always watching. Jesus changed this man from being in literal darkness by being blind to literal light and having sight. Listen to this discourse, this dialogue. Some said, this is he. Others said, he's like him. But he said, I'm he. Yes, it's me. Right. Here, your neighbors and friends will try and figure out how did your life change. Here's a revelation. There has to be a radical change in your life when you have a true encounter with Jesus Christ. It has to be a radical change. You can't be the same and say I'm a Christian and truly have that relationship with Christ. There's a radical, it's just certain things you don't say, you don't do, you don't go, not to be saved, but because you are saved. There is a radical change. Somebody has to notice it. And then when they notice it, you speak up and share your testimony, tell others what God has done for you. And that's your light shining as well. He didn't give them scripture, he gave them his testimony. Verse 10, they said, and how will your eyes open? How has your life been changed? Come on, look at verse 11. He answered and said, a man that is called... Come on, Sister Kathy. Sister Kathy, how's your life? I remember you from way back when. What have you, what's going on with, you know, there's a man called that changes the game. See, he didn't get into scripture and all that. Stop being intimidated. You don't need to know scripture. All you need to know is a man called Jesus that changed my life. And that's letting your light shine, and that's your testimony. Use your testimony as your light. Well, Pastor, I don't know any scriptures. I can't take them to the Bible. That's okay. You can't argue John would have changed life, Sister Tanya. You can't. Use your testimony. What has God done for you? I love this, man. I got so excited. I'm like, are you serious? That's all it takes. He answered and said, he's telling his testimony. A man that is called Jesus made clay. Remember, and didn't make, none of this makes, made clay. Smeared it on my eyes and told me to go. And washed. And when I was obedient to the voice of God, I received my sight. When I was obedient to God, my life changed. No scripture, no Bible thumping, not hitting them over the head with scripture, your testimony, your light shining, and your life changed. Start there, somebody. Start there. Now, later on, you can go to seminary and do all that, but just start right here. Family, I'm trying to wrap it up. All right, so y'all know when we stop, right? So let's look at verse, do we do verse 10? They said unto him how, and he answered and said, right? And then in verse 12, they said, where is he? Said, I don't know. But here we go, let me share this with you, then I'm gonna wrap it up for today, amen? Make a note. Look how powerful this is. The man shifts. It's a shift that takes place. The man now, Sister Kathy, he was a blind beggar. Now he's a discerning disciple and an evangelist. He becomes an evangelist. He tells them his testimony. He tells them his story. He tells the world and others what Christ has done for him. We all are evangelists. Go out and share what Christ has done for you. Share your story. Uh-oh, it gets deep. Share your story. Stop feeling weird. Open your mouth and tell others your story. No scripture, your story. You're going to feel weirder. I looked it up. It was a word. It said weirder. Here's the deep part. You and I are going to feel weirder when we're at that friend or neighbor's funeral and we don't know if they had a relationship with Christ or not, that's when we're feeling weird and uncomfortable, when we're sitting on that row and trying to figure out, where are they? Share your story. Stop feeling weird. Open your mouth. Youth, when you go back to school on Monday or whenever you go back, open your mouth, share your story, what God did for you this summer. I remember as a teacher, we always, the first assignment, what did you do over the summer? Man, share your story, what God did. And be the first to volunteer and stand up and say, I want to share what I did. My family went over on vacation. We went here, we went there. By the way, we went to church and the pastor told us that Jesus Christ is the light of the world and that he saves all those that need to be saved. Okay, I'm going to go sit down now. Share your story. Put that right in the middle of your story, youth. Let everybody, and stop feeling weird. And share it. All right, this is where we're going to stop. Verse 11. Given your testimony, verse 11, let me read it again. He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus, I love it, made clay, anointed my eyes, and said unto me, go wash in the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received my sight. So here you go. Here's the revelation and the most powerful testimony you can share with someone. They can receive it or they can reject it. It's all to it. They either receive it or reject it. Giving your testimony is a part of your light shining. And here's, let me give you the script for it. It's real simple. Here's the revelation. A man that is called Jesus did something that didn't make any sense and changed my life. And family, that's, look at that. That's the testimony of all of us in here. Jesus went to the cross to die for my sins. I didn't even care about him. In fact, I hated Jesus when he died for my sins, but he still died. Then I was obedient to the word of Christ, received Christ in my heart, and it changed my life. A man named Jesus did something that didn't make any sense, because y'all know we ain't dying for nobody who hates us and don't care about us. I was obedient to his word. It changed my life. Let me end with this. Dominique, take us to 1 Samuel 8 and 6, and we'll do 7. So as you're giving your testimony and we're feeling weird, I wasn't here for Bible study last week. Obviously, I was out of town. But I read it, and I hate I had to miss it, because we've been having, family, I'm telling you, come out on Wednesday nights. We've been having some incredibly powerful Bible studies. But in last week's Bible study, the people were asking for a king. They don't want God, they want a false God. Same thing with us, as we're sharing and witnessing. People don't really want God, they want a false God. So God had to help Samuel deal with being rejected. And as a pastor, this really ministered to me. But as you all, we're all evangelists, let it minister to you as well. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. So when you're out witnessing the people and they don't want to hear you, just keep praying to God that God will open their eyes and help them discern. And then here's the kicker right here, verse 7. And the Lord said unto Samuel, listen unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me. So as you're out sharing and feeling weird, they say, man, get out of my face with that Jesus stuff. I don't want to hear it. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting God. So don't take it personal. Don't take it personal, because people don't want to hear about it. But you're planting and you're watering seeds that someone else has been planted. God gets the glory. Your light's shining. But don't take it personal. As a pastor, I can't take it personal when I'm out sharing and people don't want to have anything. And they hear I'm a pastor like, man, I don't want to have nothing to do with you. It's not because they're rejecting me. But they have rejected me, God is saying, that I should not reign over them. They don't want a true and living God reigning over their life, because it requires them to do something different, humble themselves, submit, and surrender. And everybody don't want to do that. Amen? So don't take it personal. It's the kind of stuff we're unpacking. Same thing in the Old Testament, the same thing in 2019, Sunday, August 25th, 2019. They don't want God ruling over them, but don't you take it personal. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting God. Share your testimony. Share your story. And that's where we're going to stop today. If you would, just bow your heads for a quick minute. We're going to pray, and then we are going to dismiss. Lord, God, we want to try and digest all that you shared with us, to live on a higher level as a believer in Christ. It takes a mature Christian to humble, submit, surrender, and trust God with all the details. But that's what you've called us to, not business as usual, Lord. So we ask that you would help us this morning. God, give us the courage to get out, share our story, share our testimony, let our light shine to a lost and dying world. God, we love you. Help us to trust you. Because we do need you. And the ultimate in obedience is to accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. So that when we leave here, not if, but when we leave here, that we transition right into paradise with Christ. It doesn't make sense that Jesus would die for our sins and save us when we didn't care and didn't love him. But God doesn't think like we think and doesn't act like we act. He's on a whole nother level. And that's his salvation plan. Either we accept it or we reject it. And then we have to live with our decision. So maybe you hear you say, Pastor, I've never accepted Christ. I don't know if Christ is in my heart. I don't know if I'm filled or sealed with the Holy Spirit. I don't know if I'm saved, if I've been rescued. That's you, elevate your hand. You don't have to leave here in doubt. You can know for sure. Elevate your hand if you'd like to say, Pastor, I want to know that I'm saved. I want to know that I'm born again this morning. Or maybe you're hearing you say, Pastor, I need to rededicate my life. I haven't been much light. I kind of been gray and light brown. God's called us to be light, not filtered light, a bright light. The neighbors looked at my house, whoa, Pastor, now I don't know what they would see, lights on or lights off. Might be a strobe light, just all kind of stuff going on in there. So maybe you want to rededicate your life this morning to Christ, to be that light. To live on that higher level that you know he's called you to. You know Christ has a calling on your life. It's up to you to rededicate, submit, and surrender, and let that light shine and change the world for Christ. And that's just between you and God. You don't have to elevate your hand. We're not going to put you on the spot for that. That's a heart-to-heart with God. We don't even need to know. God's looking right at your heart. And God knows. And you know. The word says if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All you got to do is confess and forsake. So we're going through the Old Testament on Wednesday nights. We see God gives them chance after chance after chance. God is gracious. God is merciful. The grace of God is amazing. Every time they ask, God forgave. Every time you ask, God forgives and sends you on your way to be that light that he's called you to be. But you have to ask, rededicate your life. So, Lord, I just want to pray that we all accept the challenge and rise to the occasion. And that we submit, commit this morning. To serve you like never before. Let us be lights wherever we are. And then let us share our story. We don't need the scripture. Not right now, just the story and a changed life. And God, you take it from there. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus.